Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Reacting to Josh Yowie's report from The Athletic, where he writes, it's not known if Geno Malkin is going to retire from hockey after this season, but from what I've heard, the 2025-2026 campaign will be his final season with the Penguins. I think if he plays beyond this year in the NHL, the Penguins would be wise to ask him to waive his no-move clause and trade him at the deadline. Now, a good text back and forth I just had during the break. Someone writes in, what does playing beyond this year have to do with the price of rice in China? Look, I think if he's going to play in the NHL in a different sweater, then you may as well get something for him instead of letting him walk and sign someplace else at the end of the season. And the texter writes back, but if he isn't going to play here, why wouldn't you, or if he isn't going to play overall, why wouldn't you try to get something for him anyway? I would. But I think the Penguins would try to keep him as a one-sweater guy. I think that changes the math for them. Let Malkin get his flowers this year. Let him play out his NHL career in Pittsburgh. And if he wants to go to Russia, okay, so be it. But he'll never play in another uniform in the NHL. I think that probably means something to them. But if he's going to do it either way at the end of the year, which at least it seems like is a possibility, why not get something for him at the deadline? Jeff Hathorn joins us now to get into that and a whole bunch of other stuff, including the U.S. Open. Jeff, did you get your rest yesterday? Did you take a long nap? Maybe some chamomile tea, something like that?
Yeah, I got my rest. Yeah. I mean, listen, the way that thing ended was pretty awesome. It's almost like you wanted more, you know? I mean,
I wanted a playoff, man. Give me a playoff and then have it go dark and we start it back up again on Monday. That would have been a blast.
It is the one thing that I wish we had more of here is pro golf. I mean, it's basically once a decade, and those tournaments are so cool. I mean, to watch the skill of those guys is just, I mean, it's insane when you think about some of the conditions they were playing through.
Yeah, and then complained through in a number of different cases, like Rory McIlroy. And you didn't beat up any lockers on the way out, did you, Jeff?
No comment.
While we're on it.
No comment.
Because I do want to get into the Penguins thing with you and a bunch of other stuff here, too. We'll kind of jump around. But yeah. I did not hear this yesterday. I saw it in the show notes that there's maybe some whispers that Rory could be joining LIV. I think that would actually make him a bigger trader than Benedict Arnold, dude.
There was a whisper. I mean, I haven't heard anything really credible to that extent.
Okay.
And I mean, I would hate to think that it's somebody just throwing something out there because they're upset with Rory. But yeah, it's a weird situation. I mean, it's like a guy that everybody was pulling for in the Masters. And after he won it, like in his mind, he's trying to figure out, okay, what now? What's my motivation now? And
right.
He's openly questioned it. And the few opportunities we've had to talk with him. And I said this with Pony. I do think he believes in his mind that because he was available and because he was the face of the PGA Tour during the whole LIV thing, that he's kind of owed something back. Like, hey, I know I had a driver that didn't test legal, but don't throw me under the bus like that. Remember all the times I talked and did all this stuff? Like, scratching backs. That's what we're talking about here. And I think, I don't know if he has a full understanding. And I think also, you know, there were other people who had the same driver who failed, but it was Rory's name who came out.
Right, of course.
So he was a little annoyed that it was just him. And I get that to an extent. But I think it's more not a thing with the media as it is. He's just trying to find out, you know, why am I doing all this now? Like I've done the thing. Now what's my motivation? He's not a guy like locked in like a tiger, locked in like a Scheffler, where there's always something to play for. I think he needs it. Maybe playing the Open about an hour from his house will be a motivator for him.
Jeff Hathorn with us here on the Fan Morning Show. I thought it was terrific that J.J. Spaun made that long putt to win, and he finished under par and was the only guy to finish under par. That's almost the perfect ending for me at a U.S. Open at Oakmont. The only thing I could have asked for was maybe more big names in it at the end, Jeff, but I thought it was apropos of the difficulty of the course that one guy finished under par, and it was the winner. That's perfect to me.
And he finished under par by taking advantage of a couple of opportunities.
Yep.
He hit a perfect drive on 17. Perfect. And then, you know, taps in for birdie, takes the lead, gets up on 18, where he had bogeyed the last 2 days on that hole, and does what few had done and hit one in the fairway. Hits a nice, safe shot, much like a Nicklaus or a Scheffler would do. Just get it on the green. And then I think he really benefited from Hovland having basically the same putt before him and blowing it by. And he said he had a good read on it, and damn, he did.
I mean that's ballsy too, man. It really is, because he goes for the hole. If he misses, that thing had some pace to it. It could have been a par putt that would not have been a gimme. Like, that's the thing I think people miss on that. Like, oh, he had two opportunities. Yeah, but the pressure on the second putt, had he missed, my head would have popped.
Yes. And you got to take the entire day into consideration here. You would know, because you have kids about the same age as him. You got one throwing up at 3 a.m, and you're in a hotel. I don't care if you've got a separate room. I mean, you got the biggest day of your life, of your golfing life coming up, and the kid's throwing up. You're running to the pharmacy at, 3 a.m. to get medicine. And then you show up, what I love is he showed up to Oakmont in like cargo shorts and a t-shirt, which normally would have him arrested. And he just shows up, strolls in, you know, and he has that bad luck where he hits the pin on 2. He hits a rake a little later. Then they have a rain delay. He comes out and he's like, he just battles and he keeps battling. And at one point, they had 5 people tied for the lead. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then he just decided, all right, this is mine, and he took it.
Jeff Hathorn joining us here, and you had just tremendous coverage from the Open all week long. It was just awesome stuff. I can't get enough. I'm wearing my Oakmont hat now. I had the privilege of getting there on Sunday. Just an awesome event, and I would recommend to everybody in 2033. Switching gears here, Jeff. The report from Josh Yowie yesterday saying that Malkin is going to play his final season with the Penguins this year, but maybe not necessarily his last season overall. I think he's probably likely to retire or go to Russia, but it did leave open the possibility that he could play in the league next year. Do you think they would ask him to move his trade clause at the halfway portion of the season?
Maybe, but I think they probably feel his value. I mean, I don't know what his value would be on the open market. I mean, I guess if he was having a really good first half, maybe there'd be some value for a team.
You know what, Jeff, not to interrupt, but I was just looking at what Brad Marchand got in return, and it was a conditional second round pick that's now going to turn into a first round pick. And I know they're completely different players,
right?
But from a production standpoint, Malkin 68 games last year and had 50 points. Marchand 71 games, 51 points. From a production standpoint, pretty similar.
Production standpoint, similar. But what Brad brings, as much as he can be hated, he brings an edge that Gino doesn't. I mean, there's an intangible, big-time intangible with Marchand that isn't there with Gino. I do think this franchise, even though it's changed ownership, and who knows what might happen in the future, I think they value somebody that would still be a gate attraction in the second half of the season. I we'll see. I mean, a lot of it would depend on what kind of year he has. I would hope for him that he doesn't just become some kind of NHL drifter late in his 30s into his 40s, that if he's going to play, he would just, you know, maybe there's probably something deep down of like playing back home, even if it's just for a season.
That's my read as well. Jeff, the Steelers, according to a bunch of reports last night, gave Deshaun Elliott a 2-year deal. What's your read on that? And does it have anything to do with Minka Fitzpatrick in his $23-ish million cap hit the next 2 years?
I think it's more that they like them as a combo.
Okay.
I mean, Elliott hits. They've thrown some different guys in there that haven't worked. And I mean, Elliott told his first day of OTAs, he's like, man, I love it here. They love me. I feel wanted. I'll do anything for these guys. And, you know, I feel like they make it so my game is free. He had a career high in tackles last year. I just think it's a good fit for him. They recognize that and were able to use some of that available money to lock him up for a couple of years. I think it's a good signing. I think he's a good, solid player. And potentially, I mean, he just turned 28. And I think he's got a few good years, and it seemed like he and Minka had something, and you love the attitude, and I like the signing.
I don't want to go all like Jeff Harding's James Farrier here, but as we look over the early tenure of Omar Khan, I mean, this is a hell of a player that they've acquired, and they're going to keep him relatively cheap over these next few years. I thought that guy was, I don't know, maybe the third best player on the defense last year. I thought he was actually better, different roles, no doubt, but I thought he was better for what he was asked to do, even than Minka was.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I mean, this is his fourth team in his relatively young career, and I think sometimes it's just about the fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fit is just right here, and I think he and Minka think the game well, and I think with Slay back there, I think there's a chance that secondary is going to be pretty decent, especially if, you know, it's a very motivated TJ on the outside looking to wreak havoc.
Jeff, this was delightful. Always love chatting with you. And the coverage last week, man, was second to none. It was really fun having you on our show every single hour. And we were following along on social media and on the website, man. So awesome stuff and really cool that you were able to be out there the whole time. Did you sleep there?
I avoided. I was wondering if I might have to sleep there because the car would be stuck in grass somewhere. But no, it was. Trust me. If for people that have never been out there, like think about it. It's an awesome event. It's such a fun event. And even through the weather, man, those volunteers out there,
yes,
and the Oakmont grounds crew, they were unbelievable to get that course playable with all the rain it got.
I thought
it
went
to them
flawlessly from a fan relations standpoint too. It was easy to get in. It was easy to get out. They had hydration stations. They had thought of everything. Just a world-class event.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for the kind words and a quick shout out to Oakmont Bakery for being a host for us. They were awesome.
Oh yeah. No doubt about it. Jeff, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Sports director Jeff Hathorn. The coverage was outstanding. Outstanding. Locally, it wasn't going to get any better than what Jeff was providing and Mulsey with going low. And I need to get out on the course. Harry, are we going to golf? You, me, and intern Dom? Or are you and intern Dom now on the outs because of the...
There's not a chance I'm doing anything with that guy, ever.
So you and me then? You know what? We could throw some significant shade his way.
We can,
if
we
you
can
and
invite
I go
Austin,
without
we can
him,
invite,
yes.
We can invite Joe. We can
intern
invite
RJ.
We can invite Mulsey.
I don't want to play with Mulsey. He's too good. He'd all make right. us all feel bad about ourselves.
I'll bring all the part-time producers along. Everybody but him. Yeah.
All right. We talked to Jeff about a lot there. I want to react to his thoughts on Evgeny Malkin and also the Deshaun Elliott deal. We'll spend a lot more time on Elliott coming up at 8 o'clock, but we'll react to some of Jeff's comments when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us as well, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Before I got here, I was obviously I know football, and I know that in the past we've played well in the beginning of the season, and then, you know, we just bad at the end, and same happened this year. Closed the season out on five game losing streak, including the playoffs. So we got to figure out what's the problem. We got to figure out how to get better. We got to figure out how to get past that point. We got to figure out how to finish strong in seasons to go into the playoffs hot, ready to play playoff football. Yeah, man.
It's a voice of Deshaun Elliott, who was really good, I thought, for the Steelers last year and did not cost a lot of money. And according to Tom Pelissero and other reports, the Steelers have inked him to a two-year deal, two-year extension. $12.5 million, including $9.21 million in guarantees. And initially, my mind jumps. Okay, the Steelers have signed Juan Thornhill this offseason, who had played for Kansas City and Cleveland. Now you're giving Elliott a two-year extension, which means he's going to be around for this year and a couple more. Minka's got a few years left on his deal, and his cap hit is sizable. Does this mean that the Steelers, not for this year, but are preparing for life after Minka? That's where my mind initially jumped. Now, Jeff Hathorn, who's the journalist on this here station, he says he thinks they're just trying to keep that safety tandem together, that they like Minka Fitzpatrick with Deshaun Elliott. And those two guys together form one of the better safety tandems in the NFL. The Steelers want to keep that up. We'll get more into the nuts and bolts of that and how it affects Minka coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. But this was shrewd business by the Steelers. This was a hell of a pickup last year. It went under the radar last offseason because you had Justin Fields. You trade for him. You get Russell Wilson. So it was going to mark the fourth consecutive year with a new starting quarterback. You move off of Kenny Pickett. That garnered all the headlines. Steelers also gave Patrick Queen more money than they had ever given a free agent in total monies. So that was a deal that was looked at as a bigger deal for the Steelers. Deshaun Elliott was really good for them last year. What I'd like to see, though, is you're paying this guy. You have faith in him, as you should, because he was outstanding. Let Minka go be Minka then. We'll get into the trade aspect of this, or the moving on from Minka aspect of this at 8 o'clock, but if you trust both of your safeties, you got to let Minka go be the playmaker that he was in his first few years in Pittsburgh again. They did not get enough out of Minka Fitzpatrick last year. Not even close. Deshaun Elliott had a healthy PFF grade, 70.2. That's better than Minka's, which was 68.4. And this isn't the be-all, end-all. It's just a reference point. Juan Thornhill, who the Steelers signed this offseason, he had a PFF grade of 65.5. Minka, not an upgrade over Deshaun Elliott. Different positions, I get it. But far more costly. Juan Thornhill graded out slightly below Minka. That guy's making chump change. So they're not getting bang for their buck from Minka Fitzpatrick. Not by a long shot. He has had one interception. One. Count him. One. In his last 28 games. The very beginning of that stretch, this is how long ago it spanned, it was Kenny Pickett against Deshaun Watson. Those were the quarterbacks going toe-to-toe on that fateful Sunday at the very beginning of that one pick and 28-game stretch for Minka Fitzpatrick. If you believe so much in Deshaun Elliott as a guy who can be your robber, who can cover the middle of the field, who can kind of move all over the place, you got to trust him to play some center field too. Minka Fitzpatrick lined up 18 yards off the damn ball over and over and over and over again last year. And you could tell me it was to prevent the big play. The Steelers were 26th in the league in pass defense. So he wasn't keeping a lid on things and he wasn't taking the ball away. That is a misallocation of a big time asset in Minka Fitzpatrick. To me, it's more on them than it is on him. But if you're only going to use him as that deep center fielder and he's not going to take the ball away like he did his first few years, he's absolutely not worth $23, $24 million, which is the cap hit the next few seasons. And I know the cap's going up. It'd be one thing if he actually was keeping the Steelers from giving up big plays. He's not. The Steelers were smack dab in the middle of the NFL, 16th in yards per play allowed. He's supposed to be the yards per play guy. stop them from racking up these big explosive plays. Again, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL in pass yardage allowed per game. If you believe in Deshaun Elliott so much, trust him a little bit more to be at times that center fielder and free Minka up to be a matchup nightmare, because he can be. When he played in Miami, it was only a year, it was his rookie season, he graded out as one of the best slot defenders in the NFL. More of that, please. More of him around the line of scrimmage on third downs. You never knew where Troy Polamalu was going to line up. He was a quarterback nightmare. Ed Reed was going to line up all over the place. Yeah, he played a bunch in center field, but they used him as a chess piece. I'm not saying Minka's as good as those guys, but he's really good if you use him appropriately. They haven't used him appropriately. You got all this faith in Deshaun Elliott. Okay, put your mouth now where your money is and let that guy be a little bit more multiple for you and have those guys be a little bit more interchangeable and get Minka Fitzpatrick involved more in being closer to the ball. 412-928-9370. More on this coming up at the top of the hour. We have a big fan morning show, PM team, NBC Sports scandal, which we'll get to at some point. We're also going to introduce you to RJ, our intern. You do a little rapid fire with him. I have no idea where we're doing any of these things. Doran called off sick today. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. What I do know is that Terry Bradshaw got himself into some trouble. And we'll get to that coming up at about 7:50. But next, it's Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? That's right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
No Doran today. He is out sick. We hope Doran will be back in short order. My wife texted me, are you all good being solo today? And I think, in my not so humble opinion, I've been outstanding today. Absolute top of my game. Top of my game.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not alone. I got my teammates here. I got Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass.
You've been so nice to me lately.
We have intern RJ. That's because I'm turning over a new leaf on you. You turned around that 92-mile-an-hour fastball, and all of a sudden it all crystallized in my brain. You were actually a pretty good athlete back in your day. So for that, I apologize. But we're not here to try to Band-Aid over past feuds. We are here to prove that we're smarter than our plumber friend, Southside Jake from Southside Plumbing and Heating. Jake, good morning to you, buddy. Harry is going to be my teammate today. Intern RJ will be our lifeline. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? Nothing much. I'm a little concerned with intern RJ being your lifeline. I think he's game, man.
Sure. We talked to him a little bit yesterday. I think he's a sports historian.
He's already the best intern at the fan. Beat Dom by a mile.
That's why, like, I don't usually like to refer to the intern as intern, insert your name here, but because intern Dom is just taking everybody out in a warpath right now, I would like to compare our intern to the former intern of the PM team, and I like our guy, even though it's only halfway through day two. But enough. We digress. Let's get down to brass tacks, buddy. Who wants to be smarter than a plumber?
All right, well, let's start it off here. I mean, I got a bunch of Stanley Cup questions today.
Oh,
I'm very excited for this game tonight, and this has been the best Stanley Cup final series I've seen in a long time. I really, really am enjoying it.
So I would agree with that.
I'm all in on it.
Yeah,
I'm all in on it. All right, so here we go. First question: before 2023. When was the last time the Florida Panthers were in the Stanley Cup Finals? A, they never were. B, 1995. C, 1996. Or D, 1997.
Could you repeat the question?
What the hell are you talking about? Repeat the question. Last time the Florida Panthers were in the Stanley Cup Final. They beat the Penguins en route there. They throw all the rats on the ice.
95 sounds right.
It was 1996.
Final answer?
Yes.
You are correct. Very confident. Nice job.
Did you see someone that looks like threw an actual deceased rat on the ice that they ran over with the Zamboni and then there was blood everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, quite impressive. Florida's been in the Stanley Cup Finals past 3 years. It's pretty
well.
Pretty
awesome. No state income tax. That's what everyone's telling us. Everyone wants to go play for Florida. You live in the sunshine. You don't really have a ton of fan pressure. And oh yeah, by the way, your contract's gonna be worth a lot more money. All right, let's move on. Question two. Here we go. We're off to a hot start, boys.
Mm-mm-mm. Despite not qualifying by playing 41 games or one game in the final, this player's name was engraved on the Penguins' 1991 Stanley Cup winning trophy, obviously. A. Jurij Herdina. B. Jim Pock. C. Phil Bourque. Or D. Jay Caulfield.
Oh, man, that's a great question. I want to say it's Jimmy Pack, but let's go 50-50.
Okay. 50-50. B, Jimmy Pack. You got to quit doing that. D, Jay Caulfield.
Yeah, you got to stop telling me what you think it is because...
There's that famous Norm MacDonald clip whenever he's sitting there with Regis Philbin and he says, I think it's between these two. But now that I've said that, you're not just going to make it be those two that are the ones remaining. Lo and behold, that's what happened.
Yep.
Well, my first instinct was Jimmy Pack, and so he's in the 50-50. I'm going with Jimmy.
Locking it in, B, Jimmy Pock. You are incorrect.
Oh,
it was
Jay!
Jay Caulfield.
Son of a...
Man. He only played 23 games for the Penguins that year, but
I knew
he
it.
Was with them apparently for the full season.
I knew he didn't play more than 41. But, damn it. Okay. All right, let's get to the money ball or the money puck in this instance. It's going to be another Stanley Cup question.
It is, and I'm excited for this one.
Oh, boy.
I'm very excited. When was the last time a ring was removed and a blank ring was added to the Stanley Cup?
Oh, man.
A, 2015. B, 2017. C, 2018. Or D, 2020. Maybe RJ knows it. I don't know.
I was hoping that 2020 would be on there because... of COVID, that would make sense. Let's just, hey, everything's different. Why not change this too? I mean, I don't really actually know the answer to this question.
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, for criminy.
Just repeat, not the options.
When was the last time a ring was removed and a blank ring was added to the Stanley Cup? Do you need the answers to
a blank ring?
A blank ring was added to the Stanley Cup.
Alex, do you not know that they remove rings from Stanley Cup?
There's layers to it. It's like an onion. It's like a parfait.
Yeah, I gotcha. I understand. Okay. I understand.
Does RJ know? Do I want to use my lifeline here? I'm going to use my lifeline. We're going to phone
the
a
last
friend.
One. You might as well.
Yeah.
RJ, you're in.
You got a guess or do you know it?
Can you give me the years again?
A, 2015. B, 2017. C, 2018. Or D, 2020.
Well, see, that's a good question because 2017 and 2018 are kind of like the same thing. And I'm a Caps fan. I think that's the last
time. Oh!
So, I'm going to say the 2017, possibly.
All right, so.
I feel like we would have known, though, right? Because it was the Penguins that won it.
No. Well, they won in 16.
It's like a trick.
They won in 15, 16, 15, 16.
No, they won in 16 Capitals. And 17.
Yeah, 16 and 17.
Wait, can I switch?
Capitals won in
18. I take it back. 2018. It has to be 2018.
Last time the Penguins won a playoff series. Listen, there's a lot of pressure here. I'm going to go with what intern RJ had to say. But because he's a Caps fan, I'm super bummed out because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And B, whether or not I like this guy is going to hinge upon on whether or not he's right with this answer. So intern RJ says 2018. I'm going to go with him. And what's the verdict?
And the verdict is you have the best intern ever. But that is correct. 2018.
Let's freaking go, intern RJ. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Dom.
Yeah.
Oh, boys.
All right.
That was good.
Southside Jake, you are not smarter than this collective group of turds. And so for that, you should feel much shame. Thank you for your time as always.
All right, guys. Have a great day and awesome job, RJ. You are the best.
He's the man.
I will see you.
Southside Jake, Southside Plumbing and Heating. Good job. I did not know you were a Caps fan. Is Alexander Ovechkin your favorite player of all time then?
I was a TJ Oshie guy before Ovechkin.
Oh, what a prick. But, can I say that? I probably can't. Time out.
Hey, no, but I love Ovi. You know, don't get me wrong. But, hey, each his own, you know. Go Caps, baby. Hey, who made the playoffs this year? Let's talk. Wait, I'm on a Pittsburgh station. I'm wilding out right now.
Yeah, that really went well for the Capitals this year in the playoffs. How about that? Intern Dom's second ever segment on the station, and I had to dump myself. I definitely can't say that word, can I?
You said intern Dom, you mean intern RJ.
Oh, well, I'm an idiot.
I've heard the word before, but better safe than sorry.
All right. Coming up next, last we heard of Terry Bradshaw, he was crushing the Aaron Rodgers move. Now he's, I guess, a threat to Homeland Security. What happened to the great number 12? We'll tell you next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. In about 10 minutes, we'll get into the contract extension that was signed last night by a Pittsburgh Steeler. We've all been waiting for it. That's in 10 minutes. Terry Bradshaw was going through TSA at the airport yesterday. This was all filmed. And they made him take off his shoes, and they were searching him separately. And as he is walking, I think, to like a secondary location with TSA, Bradshaw turns to the camera and goes, "They think I'm the Unabomber." Terry, you can't say that in an airport, man. Like, there's just a few things you can't do. Like, you're not supposed to scream fire in a crowded movie theater. I think that's actually illegal.
Yep.
Can't do it. You probably can't say bomb in an airport. Shouldn't be referring to yourself as the Unabomber. I will empathize with Terry, though. I'll go this far. I don't know that I'm ever more frustrated or impatient than when I'm in a line at an airport. I hate flying. I'm already wigged out. You're waiting in line, especially if I've got my kids with me. Now I'm all stressed out because they're acting crazy. I'm trying to keep it all together. My wife's trying to keep me all calm. That's one of the places that I am. Well, I think it's a possibility that I can absolutely lose my mind. That and pretty much any kind of traffic. Maybe I'm just that kind of guy. DMV also enters the chat. Oh, yeah, also the golf course. All places where I'm liable to flip my lid. But in an airport, I'm not going to refer to myself as Unabomber. Someone texts in a picture, tweets in, Terry Bradshaw's going to have a bottle signing for his whiskey at a Fine Wine and Good Spirits in Homestead, PA on June 26th. Not some arena. Not some convention. Imagine walking into a Fine Wine and Good Spirits and just Terry Bradshaw sitting out front signing autographs. Signing bottles of his whiskey.
I thought that was fake at first.
It might be fake. I wish we had like a real-life, real-time grok that could fact check us on things. I've found myself doing that more and more on social media. I've been fooled by the internet a time or two. Not as much as Ron Cook, not as much as Bob Pompiani, who thought that Tiger Woods was going to return and play at Oakmont, even though he got his surgery on, what, his Achilles like 3 months ago. But I've been using grok more and more. Grok will fact check you, AI, real time. We need one of those in real life. I need to know if that Terry Bradshaw thing is real. Because it's very funny to me if he's just sitting outside of a random Fine Wine and Good Spirits. Seriously, imagine walking in there. Like, oh, I'm getting a bottle of Makers. Oh, look who I ran into. Oh, he's signing autographs? Terry Bradshaw. Bet you he'd give you a piece of his mind on that, Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of giving someone a piece of mind, give him a piece of my mind right now. Didn't have a place to shoehorn this into the show, so we'll do it right now. This Jared Karabas guy, are you familiar with him, Callis? Jared Karabas?
Yes.
So he's a big baseball dude, been a Red Sox fan his entire life. He'll jump on and do stuff with MLB Network from time to time. After the Red Sox traded Rafael Devers, Jared Karabas tweeted out, "No team makes it harder to root for them than the Boston Red Sox." I mean this with all due disrespect, shut the hell up. Oh, man, it's been so hard to be a Boston Red Sox fan. Yeah, up until 2004, you might have had something there. Bucky friggin' Dent.
Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
The 2003 ALCS with Aaron Boone.
Rest in peace, Tim Wakefield.
Yeah, RIP Wakefield. Now I'm very sad. If you wanted to make that argument in October of 2003, I'd have been here for it. One of the most tortured fan bases in all of sports. Since then, what do they won? Four championships? So in like the last 22 years, they've won four championships. The Pirates have had, what, four winning seasons? Jared Karabas, get the frig out of here. We're doing this way early today. Social media's biggest loser, that guy. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. That is such a crock of crap. Oh no, we traded my favorite player. Oh yeah? We traded all my favorite players. Forever. Oh, it's so hard to be a Red Sox fan. They stink this year. Let me watch Tom Brady. Oh, man. The Red Sox stink this year. It's been a full year since the Boston Celtics won a championship. I mean, what a clown this guy is. I think he's good at his job. I have nothing against him personally, or at least I didn't until now. Get the hell out of here. No team makes it harder to root for them than the Boston Red Sox.
Maybe this was all a ploy by him to get you to admit that Pittsburgh's not quite the city of champions like Boston is.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe I'm falling hook, line, and sinker. Maybe this is all about engagement and he's getting exactly what he wanted to. But I find myself enraged as a sports fan that anybody could be that myopic.
At least the Bruins choked all the time before.
But even the Bruins are a great historical franchise. I mean, I think a terribly overrated franchise. But that's a great franchise. They pooped away the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago and lost to St. Louis in Game 7, and they were a sizable favorite in that game and in that series. But you know what? At least they're competitive all the damn time. Oh, God, it's so hard to be a Red Sox fan. My team likes to spend $200 million until the last couple of years. Loser. No one's got it worse than us. Seems like a silly thing to want to admit, but here I am admitting it. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 77. Is that what number Jeff Carter wore? I think it is. High of 77, low of 66. We know that's Lemieux and Alan Faneca. 75% chance of rain today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.